Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Of course, today we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday and being reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. But not just the death on the cross, but the victory that was won when He rose again the third day, to prove that He was God and that God was satisfied with the payment that was made. With that, we are still continuing with that same idea, and we find our way to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. If you wouldn't mind as we look together, Psalm 118. Notice with me in verse number 1. Psalm 118 and verse number 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. All the nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That thrust me sore that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteousness. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them and will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark pretty much the entire verse of Psalm 118. Psalm 118 in verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would just give us grace and mercy. Help us even now, Lord, that you would just please Help us to understand this psalm, see as it points to the Lord Jesus Christ and how important it is for us that we could rejoice in you no matter what, because you are a wonderful God. In your name we pray, amen. This psalm was written probably about the same time as Nehemiah chapter number 8, right after the walls of Jerusalem were completed. This is a psalm of national rejoicing. And this psalm was composed for that occasion, the people rejoicing. Look at what God has done. Look at what he's done after all of this history. Look at how wonderful our God is. This happens to be at the end of a section we would call the Hallel Psalms, which is also called the Hallelujah Chorus for Israel. Israel would sing Psalm 113 to 118 as a thing of rejoicing. The Lord Jesus Christ himself with his disciples more than likely sang this psalm, Psalm 113 through 18, as they had left the Last Supper and were preparing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. So that means one of the last things the Lord Jesus Christ sang before he went to the cross of Calvary was, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Understand that the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew the suffering that he would go through. And yet he said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." We would do well to have that same sort of mentality that the Lord Jesus Christ had. Normally, if we know that we're going to go through a bad day, we're already immediately grumpy. Even before we go to the bad day, if we know that things are starting to turn bad and it's starting to be that type of day, we're going to be grumpy about it. It could be that you're experiencing some spiritual warfare leading into the services today. Maybe some of you received a call in the middle of the night saying, "Guess what? I'm not going to show up. I'm not going to be there to be your guest." Maybe it was some sort of incident. I got a text message just a second ago that someone said, "We're on our way to church, but our car broke down." There's all setbacks all the time. But knowing that you're going to go through the worst pain in your life, the worst pain that any human had ever gone to, and still make a decision, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." That's a decision that's made. I will rejoice. Knowing this is the day that God has made, I am making a choice no matter what's going to happen, to rejoice in it. I am making a choice. That encourages us, but also lets us know rejoicing is a choice. You could choose to be grumpy, or you could choose to rejoice in the Lord. We have to on purpose make that choice before we come to that event. Because if you didn't make that choice and you started going through suffering, it's very hard to choose while you're in the middle of it. But before you go to it, to steel yourself to say, "You know what? I don't know what I'm going to face today, but no matter what I face, God's still good and God's still right." It changes our attitude even before we get to that event. Jesus Christ knew what he was going to suffer. He knew what he was going to go through, knew the agony, and he made a decision that "I'm going to rejoice in God. I am not going to allow this to affect my attitude, my spirit. It's not going to affect." Why? Because God is still good and God is still right. Interesting enough, this is also in this psalm where it says in verse 14, "The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation." Of course, this is used three times in the Word of God. And right here, this looks to be... In Psalm 118, this is the middle part of the Bible to have the Lord is my strength. He is my song and has become my salvation. He's making a choice again. Both of these verses have that idea. God is still good and God is still right. He's my strength. Because he's still good and he's still right, I am going to sing.
Amen.
Why? Because he's my salvation. I and trusting in him. This is the steps that the Lord Jesus Christ made. He said, "I know what I'm going to face, but I trust God because God is still good and God is still right. Because God is still good and God is still right, I am making a decision. I'm going to sing. He is my song. And Jesus sang this song. And then he said, he's become my salvation. He's whom I'm trusting. He's my deliverer. I could trust in him. The Lord Jesus Christ is our example, but he's our perfect example. And if we are putting our eyes on the Lord, we can follow that same idea. Now, it just so happens that this psalm also traces the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ during that day. For most of you, you may not have understood that each step upon the way of the Lord Jesus Christ has a word that starts with a letter G. That he started at the Garden of Gethsemane. Then what he did is he took a little pit stop at what was called the Gabbatha. This is where the illegal trial or where he stood before Pilate was. Then he went to Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's where he was crucified. And finally, he ended up in glory every step of the way. And this psalm here, Psalm 118, is going to make this journey. Notice, first of all, we see the preparation of the journey. The preparation of the journey. Now, understand that Jesus Christ is headed to the worst pain ever imaginable, and yet he's making a decision that he is going to rejoice in the Lord. He's making a decision that God is still good and God is still right. I am going to sing because I trust God. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Notice in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. Because his mercy endureth forever. We're going to notice in these first four verses, they all end the same way. That God's mercy endureth forever. It's repeating again to remind us, no matter what we face, we still have God's mercy. We're receiving a lot less than what we truly deserve and still getting a lot more than what we deserve. That God is a good God. Verse 2, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. In the house of Aaron now say, let his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say, his mercy endureth forever. Once again, as the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this, he is now leaving the Last Supper. Judas Iscariot has already gone off to betray him, gathering soldiers. Jesus Christ has grabbed the other 13. He is speaking to them, trying to encourage them, trying to prepare them, heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing in a matter of hours, it's all going to change. And while he's going and while he's knowing that the worst pain is going to be there, he's reminding through this psalm, God's mercy endureth forever. He's making a purposeful choice to prepare himself before the journey. God is still good and God is still right. We would do good to prepare ourselves the same way. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be facing, but if we will wake up in the morning and say, God, you're still good and you're still right, and no matter what happens, I'm going to rejoice in you. No matter what happens, I'm going to have a song. We would find that our days would probably turn out a little bit better rather than wake up in the morning, have the sleepies, and then decide we're going to be grumpy for the rest of the day and make everyone else grumpy around us. If there is a preparation, a choice, and it is a choice, you don't have to be grumpy. There's nothing in there that says in your DNA that you have to be grumpy. Some of you will have to tell your faces that later. You don't have to be grumpy. You can choose to rejoice in God. Why? His mercy endureth forever. He is still good and he is still right. So before Jesus even faced anything, he sang this song. And part of this song was to remind him that before he faces this, he's going to praise God. He's going to make a decision to rejoice in God no matter what. If we would make a choice before we hit anything, make that choice, make that decision, I'm going to look at God no matter what, it would change how we face everything. Not only do we have the preparation of the journey, but we have the path of the journey. The path of the journey. Let's follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he hits those four stages, those four places that start with G each way, each step of the way. We start off with at Gethsemane, at Gethsemane. Notice with me in verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now remember Jesus' high priestly prayers in John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ had to say, not my will, but thine. Remember, he's in such a distress that he is praying, and his praying so fervently that the capillaries in the skin burst and they mixed with the sweats of blood. He is that fervent in praying, that heated in prayer, that much in distress, knowing what he's going to face and knowing not just him, but what is going to happen to his disciples. And upon that distress, he called upon God and God answered him. What was it? Lord, I need you. I need you. Jesus was that example for us. Verse number 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Once again, you'll see that if you read Psalm or John 17 when Jesus is praying. This comes across. What can man do to me? You've got me taken care of, God. I mean, what's the worst that man could do? Kill me? I'm still going to heaven. I can trust God no matter the worst things that happen to me. God is still good and God is still right. To say the Lord is on my side and I will not fear. It's not I shall not fear. Here is a decision being made. I will not fear. Once again, because we trust God, knowing that we're going to face the worst thing that happened if we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ's perspective, I'm making a decision. I'm going to rejoice in God. I am not going to be grumpy about it. I'm not going to let the circumstances overwhelm me. I'm going to look at God and trust him every step of the way. Notice again as we hit verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with him that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He prayed for those who wanted to kill him. He still wanted them to be saved. Lord, forgive them for what they do. Jesus Christ made a decision that I'm not going to try to get back at my enemies. These were decisions that were made before he even got there. As we move from Gethsemane, we go to the Gabbatha, where Jesus Christ is going to be put before Pilate to be sentencing. The next stop, of course, after the Garden of Gethsemane was that illegal trial. Gabbatha was the place of the payment, the place where the judgment seat was planted. After the trial had found him guilty, Jesus was sent to Herod and to Pilate for sentencing. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes. Think about this. Jesus Christ was going to stand before Pilate, and Pilate is going to say, this man is innocent. When you read the gospel record of John, it goes into more detail about this event. But Pilate made like 3 or 4 trips where he would talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. The religious establishment could not go to the judgment seat where Pilate was because they were preparing for the Passover. They could not defile themselves. If they had stepped into this Gentile place, they would no longer be able to take over the Passover. They would be ceremonially unclean. So they would be waiting outside. They gave Jesus to Pilate. Pilate would take Jesus in. So Pilate's talking to Jesus by himself without the religious establishment breathing down his neck. He would talk to Jesus and say, who are you? And Jesus didn't say anything. Finally, he said, they say that you're God. He says, okay, that's what you say. He goes back out and says, I don't find anything wrong with these guys. They're like, go back in here. He's guilty. He goes back in. 4 different times he goes back and forth. The whole time he says, there's nothing wrong with the guy. Pilate had every right to say, you know what? He's innocent. Let him go. But you know what he did? He went and said, he's innocent. However, well, you don't do that if you're the judge and you find someone innocent and say, however. But he was trying to get both sides. How can I let this innocent guy go and keep the religious establishment happy? You know what Jesus found? He couldn't trust Pilate. Herod came in. Herod had the ability. Pilate said, I don't know what to do with this guy. Herod, he's in your jurisdiction. You take care of him. Herod came in and talked with him. Herod didn't find anything wrong with him. Herod had every ability to let him go, but he couldn't trust Herod. There were times, it may shock some of you, you can't trust the government.
What? No.
We can't trust in men. People will let you down. May I say that I may let you down. I may disappoint you. Jesus will never disappoint you. We don't put our confidence in man. We put our confidence in God. And as Jesus Christ is singing this song, he is reminded, I need to make a choice, no matter what happens, to serve God, to look up him and to trust in him, to put my faith, my confidence, my rejoicing in him. Why? Because I can't trust anyone else. I can't trust human establishment. I can't trust that people are going to do what they're supposed to do. Some of you may have figured that out in life, that people don't do what they're supposed to do. But we can still trust God. And we have to make a decision that we're not going to let the failures of people make our rejoicing go away. Because our rejoicing is not depending on people. It's rejoicing is dependent upon who God is. From Gabbatha, they now, of course, sentence him. Jesus Christ then goes to Golgotha. Notice with me in verse number 10. All nations compassed about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They compass me about. Notice it over and over, it's saying he's compassed about. He is surrounded on all sides by enemies, but they wouldn't win. But may I remind you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of the strongholds? That God had a different way of dealing with this. And Jesus Christ, even though they were going to try to destroy Jesus, he was going to overthrow their attempts, and he was going to end up defeating death, hell, and the grave. They wanted to end him, but Jesus had different plans. The enemies then would be helpless to ever harm Jesus ever again. Verse 13 is more speaking about Satan here. Thou hast thrust me sore that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Isn't that wonderful that even Satan can't stop Satan, or Satan can't stop Jesus, and that we don't even have to fear Satan? We could trust God. We could look at God and say, God, it may look like everything's against me. It may look like nothing's working out. It may seem like everything is just overwhelming. I can still trust God. Again, we covered this morning of Jesus Christ. If you could imagine his perspective on the cross, looking at everything that's going on, what he was feeling like, what he was watching. He's watching his own bones, his own medical condition, watching the people, seeing the people abandon him, who's left, the jeering and everything else. At that moment, it would have been easy just to look at everyone that seemed to be against him and be overwhelmed. By the way, if he did that, Jesus Christ could have just came off the cross and just said, wipe them all out. And he would have been justified in doing it. And there are many times that you seem like everything's against me. Everything's compassed about. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm surrounded on all sides. Everything's trying to destroy me. You look past all of those things and see that there's a good God who's still right. And you could trust in him. That brings us, as he goes to the path, he starts off from Gethsemane. He goes to the Gabbatha, to Golgotha, and finally in glory. Notice in verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. What a comforting verse. I know Jesus is God, but that still must have been comforting to be able to say, I'm going to face everything, but God's still going to win. And because of that, I can still sing. I can rejoice. Because God got the victory. Jesus Christ died. On the third day, he rose again to live forevermore. He stayed on this earth for 40 days and ascended to heaven. That's where he's at now. He's alive right now. Nothing can stop him, and we can rejoice in it. Notice, if you don't mind, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Once again, we're trusting God to do his part. It's God's hand that's going to get it accomplished. Verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Verse 17, as Jesus is singing this, I shall not die permanently, but I'm going to live. The third day he did raise again, and he lived just as this song said. It was an encouragement. Verse 14, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. That the grave did not keep Jesus, but after the third day he rose again. And then he's up in heaven now in glory. We could trace this path and see that Jesus Christ was able to look at God and say, I could trust God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That even though it's going to be painful, and even though everyone's going to come past me, and even though I can't trust the government, and even though these other things, I can still make a choice to rejoice in the day that God has given me today. It is a choice to make, a choice to rejoice, which then shows us the praise of the journey. The praise of the journey. Notice in verse 19. Open to me the gates of the righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. Notice it's not I shall praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. There is a decision made. I will praise God. Verse number 20. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. God is able to deliver, and we can trust in him. Verse 22, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. Of course, the gospel records is going to refer to this, that the stone that the builders rejected, the people rejected Jesus. They rejected him being the king. They rejected Jesus Christ for being their ruler. But yet it is that same stone that they rejected that God is going to use as the cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? Well, in the buildings of those ancient days, they would take a stone that would be perfectly square. Then what they would do is they would line up all the rest of the walls to that corner so you would have a complete 90-degree angle on each side. If you ever had something that was off kilter, and then next thing you know, your house is kind of not 90-degree angle, but it's all lopsided, it doesn't work that way. The cornerstone was the most important piece of the building because everything else would be lined up according to that. Well, Jesus Christ was the stone that they rejected, but God is going to use that same stone that they rejected to be that cornerstone of everything else that God does. Praise the Lord for it. God had a plan in this. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The people rejected Jesus Christ, but God had a plan in that. The worst thing that seemed to happen in all of human history turned to be the greatest thing that happened. God had a plan in it. Therefore, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes the worst things that could happen to you turn to be the greatest things that happen to you. Therefore, when those bad things happen, we can rejoice in God. It may have not been what we wanted, but we could trust that God knew what he was doing. Yes. And I could rejoice in it, trusting that he's going to use this for his glory and honor. I may not know how, and it may be a long time before I see it, but I could trust in him. Amen. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I can trust in what God is doing. It may seem like this is going to be the worst day I've ever lived, but I can still rejoice in it because God is still in control. He knows what he's doing. He's going to work this out to some way, and I can look back and say, look at what God did. He knew what he was doing. Amen. You know, the worst day that Jesus ever had in his earthly life was the greatest day he ever had in this earthly life. It was the most suffering and the most pain, but it was the day full of the most victory because he paid our debt during that cross of Calvary. No wonder it says this is the day that the Lord has made. God knew what this day was going to hold, and we could rejoice and be glad in it. God knew what he was doing. God is still good and God is still right. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. That word beseech carries the idea of beg. Lord, save now. Save now. Oh, I beg thee, send prosperity. I could trust in you. You have to do something. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. By the way, this was the same psalm that the people were singing when Jesus Christ made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem the week before. That these people put the palm branches down. They were able to sing, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed be the name of God. They're singing this. They may not have understood what was going on, but God did.
Amen.
Verse number 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Now at the Feast of the Tabernacles, a procession of people went about the great altar of the burnt offering in the outer court. Each day, once for 6 days, they cried, Hosanna! Hosanna! Then on the seventh day, they marched, found the and went around the altar 7 times, still shouting, Hosanna! This practice was prophetic, point ahead to Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. He will rebuild that temple, as Ezekiel had stated, and lead the redeemed peoples of the world in a great celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles that Jesus Christ was that sacrifice that paid the entire price. Verse number 28, Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Verse 28 is a very important verse. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. That means to lift up high. Why? Because God is good. We need to be reminded, because once again, we allow circumstances to dictate our mood. When circumstances should never dictate our mood, God should dictate our mood. As long as he's still sitting on the throne, we can rejoice. As long as he's still sitting on the throne, we can trust. As long as he's still sitting on that throne, we can sing. No matter what happens, God is still good and God is still right. Now, as we approach now, not only having today Resurrection Sunday, but we lead ourselves to the Lord's Supper. Remember, the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to check in ourselves. And one of the great things that we could check in ourselves is, are we right with God? How can I tell if I'm right with God? Can you sing? Not meaning can you just sing any song on the radio, but can you sing a song directly to him saying he's still good and he's still right and you mean it? Not meaning how a lot of us sing on Sunday mornings when we're singing the hymn books and we don't even know what the words we're singing. We're just doing it in autopilot. But meaning, can I actually sing a song to God as if I am saying the words directly to him and believe every word of it, that he's still good and that he's still right? There is something, as God has made us, we can't sing to him if there's something wrong. What will happen is we could try to sing to him and our minds will go to something else. That's something else that needs to be taken care of. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's a worry. That's why when we sing on Sunday mornings, it's a very good litmus test to find out where you're really at. If I could sing this morning, it said, at Calvary, and as I'm saying the words, I'm thinking about something else. It's probably something wrong. Something we need to adjust, something we need to fix. If we could say, yes, it's Resurrection Sunday, stupid resurrection, probably something wrong. Keeping our eyes on God and being able to trust in him. So the question is, we could, of course, go through a litany of sins, but I know I don't have to. The idea is, can you sing? You could go back when we were singing earlier. Where was your mind? What were you thinking about? Were you thinking about him? Were you thinking about something else? Where was your heart? Where was your devotion? Where was your worship? Where was your song? Before, as we get ready to approach the Lord's Supper, we always want to use this time to make sure that we're as thoroughly right with God as possible. And so if you don't mind, before we pray, if we could get the pianist to start preparing. We want to take some time to make sure that we are as right with God as possible. In a moment, we are going to have an invitation. And in the invitation, maybe you know that your heart has been distracted. Maybe that you know that you haven't been putting your trust and faith in Him. Maybe you know that something's been wrong in your own heart. This is your chance to get it fixed, to make sure that as we observe the Lord's Supper, that our hearts and minds are on Him and not somewhere else. If you don't mind, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God, and thank you for the great victories we had. Thank you for the full crowd that we had this morning, and visitors, people that we prayed in, people that we were seeking. I'm asking even now, Lord, that you would check our hearts, that even now that you would make sure that our hearts are as right with you as possible, and that you would help us to be thorough. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.